Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning I'm going to be diving right into the Word. My subject is a troublesome tongue, and this is a troublesome subject. But one that is so important, because the Bible has a lot to say about our tongue. It has a lot to say. You know, I always say, if it's in the Word, we can't argue with it. And so the Bible really has a desire for us to get control over what the way that we speak. Because the truth is, the way that you speak reveals ultimately what's actually in your heart. And Jesus said this in a powerful way, and we'll look into it this morning. But let's go to Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. In other words, another way of saying this would be, if you don't want trouble, make sure you control your mouth and your tongue. So if there's trouble in your life, there's a good chance it comes from what you have spoken. Proverbs 18:21 says it like this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. In other words, when you speak, you're doing one of two things. You're either speaking life or you're speaking death. And this is really difficult, because the truth is that we're not always speaking life. And the problem is that when we're not speaking life, there are consequences. We have a tendency to think that when we look at the scripture, what it really means is when we speak death over someone, or we speak life over someone, and that's absolutely true. Remember something, that when you speak life, when you speak God's word over an individual, all of heaven is behind it. The angels respond to God's word. Unfortunately, when you speak death over someone, all of hell is behind it. And there are even demonic forces released against an individual or someone's life because of the words that you have spoken. You must remember, the battle's not against flesh and blood. We are more in an unseen battle than what we most of the time realize. So we know that that's true when we speak words, but the Bible tells us that will bear its fruit when we speak that way. There is a very powerful biblical principle that teaches us what you sow, you will reap. So in other words, if you are someone that is constantly sowing words of death, understand there's a good chance there's words of death being spoken against you as well. So the effect of speaking evil or negative words or bad words or not having control over your tongue is really one that is just purely harmful. Now, this is one that will touch us all, because no matter how good we think we are, more than likely we say things sometimes that we shouldn't say. So let's go a little deeper and see what the Bible has to say about this. And then we're going to look for a solution. How many of you want a solution? Amen? Okay, I need a solution. Matthew 12:36 says this. These are the words of Jesus. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. That's really scary. That you will be held accountable for the words that you speak. And he's talking about idle words, which are words that are not good. So in other words, when we speak idle words, those words that we speak will be accounted for one day. Now we'll go, ooh, in church when I say this, we'll walk out the door and we'll go, you know that Betty. Because we forget it so quickly. But you must understand that the word of God will always remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but those words will never pass away. those words will never ever pass away. In other words, what's on the pages of that book, your Bible, they are the final authority in your life. So instead of worrying about what will happen one day, how about we start living the way that it says we should right now? And it's I mean, I know it's hard. Listen, you know, you must understand, I deal with people every day. And the same thing that you love the most in the church can be the most challenging thing. I love people more than anything, but they can also be the most challenging part of church. So, you know, we have to deal with that all the time. And we have to protect our hearts, and we have to protect what comes out of our mouth, because we can speak death, and we don't want to do that. Can you say amen? So we can see that the consequences of speaking in a way that isn't good, there is a cost for it. There is a reaping. There is a fruit that will come from it. I always say, words are like seeds. They go out to grow and to become a tree that bears fruit that's not good. James 1:26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. In other words, listen, I don't really, he's trying to say this in a very nice way. I'm going to say it plainly. It doesn't matter how religious or how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. And many people will like to say, well, you know, we're seasoned Christians, you know. Well, the Bible says it doesn't matter how seasoned you are. If you can't control your mouth, your seasoned religion is useless. Are you with me? So we have got something to work on, guys. Because the mouth, the tongue, can do so much damage. And what it really does is it destroys your testimony. Because ultimately what's truly in your heart will be exposed by what you speak. And so you might be able to come to church, raise your hands, be all holy here, walk out the door, and when you get home, it's not quite the same. And so what it does is it weakens the testimony of what God wants to do in your life. Now, again, I need to say this. I'm not saying this in an accusatory way towards anybody, because the truth is, listen, we are all guilty of this. I've hung around the most holy people. Listen, we all holy. What is holy other than God? When we speak, we have to be so careful what we say, because it can really bring damage. Now, let's investigate this a little further by staying in the book of James, because he's the one author in the Bible that really addresses the subject of the tongue. Let's go to James 3, verse number 2. Are you guys all okay this morning in Vero Beach? Okay, I know this is a tough subject, but I'm gonna give you the solution this morning. We need a way where there seems to be no way, amen? James 3, verse number 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And now he's about to tell us why we stumble. If you cannot control what comes out of your mouth, your whole life will be different. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you stumble in many ways, you need to know that it's probably got to do with what's coming out of your mouth. If you can get what comes out of your mouth right, I want you to know, you will be a perfect man. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here this morning that is willing to say that they are perfect? No. I'm so glad no one raised their hand. There was someone in the first service that was like, and I was like, put it down, brother, quickly. The truth is that no one is perfect. And you'll probably find out that the area where they come short the most is the area of what comes out of their mouth. So we all struggle in this area. He tells us that if we could get this right, and we were able to bridle our tongue, it'll actually control, it'll take care of the whole body. Now he gives an example. He says, if we put bits, this is verse number 3, if we put bits into mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And then he says, so also the tongue is a small member. Let's stop there. You know, if you're someone that has ever been boating and you're going to the ocean and it's really, really rough, you'll get in the boat, you'll be driving, you're having a great day. And this has happened to me a couple of times. That's why I always say to the guys, Mike and Nick and Alex and all of them, listen, I'm a fair weather fisherman. Because when you're out there and it's rough, all you have keeping you from making it back and safely is this tiny little propeller at the back of the boat. It doesn't matter how many horsepowers you have at the back on that engine. The thing that's actually driving you, and if that little thing gives in, it's over. That little small propeller is controlling that entire ship. So it is with your life. The direction that your life will go in is determined by what you speak and what comes out of your mouth. Take a look at what it says. It says, so also, verse number 5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. In other words, a tiny little spark, a little flame that comes from a small match can make an entire forest burn. Verse number 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. Or another definition would be from other Bible translations would be defiling. So in other words, the tongue has the potential to stain or to defile the entire body just by what comes out of your mouth, setting on fire the entire course of your life. There it is, just like a ship which goes on course. If your tongue begins to speak all kinds of evil, if your tongue begins to really go in a bad direction, what begins to happen is it can actually change the entire course of your life just by what you say. Powerful, not in a good way though, right? I want you to know though, in the same way, you can also begin to speak words that bring life. You can also begin to speak words that will change the course that you were going in. Maybe if your life has kind of been booby-trapped by words, begin to speak different words. Begin to speak words of life. Begin to speak words that edify. Begin to speak words that build up. And then maybe things will also begin to change. Can you say amen? It says, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. In other words, listen, the enemy wants nothing more. The enemy wants nothing more for you to speak words of destruction, words of death, words of negativity, because when you do that, he has something to work with. I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than being around someone that just can't contain or control their tongue. When they're just constantly speaking evil, when they're just constantly attacking all the time. Proverbs 29 verse number 11 says this, a self-confident fool utters all his anger, but a wise man holds it back and stills it. In other words, listen, sometimes when someone has got a whole lot of stuff on the inside of them, they get this moment where all of a sudden they explode and let all that anger out, and their words, what comes out of their mouth, man, you didn't know it was in there. And suddenly it just comes out and it's terrible. But the Bible says that if you're wise, you're not going to do that. You're going to hold yourself and contain yourself. Go and think about it. Are you with me? Don't just allow it to explode, because what happens is you'll end up saying things that will hurt so badly. We have to control our tongues. Let's go back to James, verse number 7. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. In other words, all the animals, listen, we can actually bridle or train or raise up every kind of creature on earth, but unfortunately, verse number 8 says, no human being can tame the tongue. I just want to stop for a moment and say you can all breathe. Because the Bible says, no human being can do it. In other words, it's okay, you're in good company. It says, no human being can tame the tongue. In other words, it's not possible to bring it completely into control, into submission. The tame purely is something that just cannot be contained. Listen to this. Proverbs 21, verse number 9. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Yeah, I laugh, guys, but listen, we can reverse that scripture just as easily. If you're someone that just constantly, I want you to know the reason why it says it's better is because those words are going to cause damage. Those words are going to bear consequences. That's why you will always reap the fruit of your words. Because eventually they are going to go out and achieve that they have been sent out to do in some way. So control what we speak. We have to control what we speak. Verse number 8. Let's go back to James 3, verse number 8. We'll read it again. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So we recognize this is a problem. With it we bless our Lord and Father. And with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bear forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives and grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. He's trying to tell you that, listen, there's a source on the inside of you. And out of that source will come one type of water, either fresh water or salt water, but both can't. So in other words, there's a problem at the root. What's the problem? The problem is the heart. Because your heart, whatever's really in there, eventually something's going to come out. In other words, eventually what's truly in there will come out. And if it's salt water, it's going to be salt water. If it's fresh water, it's going to be fresh water. The point he's trying to make is that ultimately, listen, when we get saved, God gives us a new heart. That heart is new, right? Which is wonderful. But that doesn't mean that we've changed immediately in every single way. In the first service, I asked Tara's permission to use this example. When Tara joined the church, she was really bad. Okay, for those of you that don't know, okay? Let me say that again. She was really, really bad. Okay? But she had such a powerful encounter with the Lord, and her life was changing in the most miraculous way. She was someone who really gave their heart to God. And so a couple of weeks or months after she had just gotten saved, she's like on fire and she's wanting to go out and work with the homeless and all this stuff. She walks into my office and it's like, beep, beep, beep. And I'm looking at her and she looks at me and she goes, is it not okay to say that? And I said to her, probably not. Because even though her heart had begun to change, there was still a renewing of the mind that needed to take place. Here's the problem, guys. That has to eventually begin to change. If there is no change and you're still speaking that way, why are you doing it? What's going on? What's going on in your heart that needs to be dealt with so that you can change? Are you with me? Let's take a look at what Jesus said, because he spoke very much on the same lines. Luke 6, verse 43. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bumble bush. He's basically saying the same thing that James was saying. A spring cannot bear both fresh water and salt water. Listen, he's saying a tree is known by its fruit. Figs are not from thorns, nor are grapes gathered from bumble bushes. In other words, something's wrong. Something's wrong if the fruit isn't good. If the evidence isn't good, then something is wrong. Then he says this, and this is really powerful. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The word treasure there can also be interpreted as storehouse. In other words, what is coming out of your heart, if it's good, that means that you're a good man if there's good coming out of your heart. And if there is evil in your heart, it's the same thing. He says, And an evil man out of the evil treasure or storehouse of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, eventually the true condition of your heart will show itself. Now, you know, we had a marriage retreat this weekend, so I'm kind of in that mode. So I'm going to sort of stay there. You know, one of the things that we have a tendency to do, and this really ties into that scripture that speaks about our spirituality or our religion being useless if we can't control our tongues. You know, I've watched so many times how children, specifically, they watch you. They watch your every move. That's kind of scary, right? As a parent, that's kind of scary. But I want you to know something. They don't care what you do here at church. What they want to see is, has the God that delivers and sets free and brings healing and changes lives, has that God changed you? Because if you go home and your heart is defiled and still carrying hurt and pain and stuff, you are going to continue to speak words that bring destruction. The fruit of your words will be evident, and the lives of your children will not change. Now listen, you can be the best, most holy parent, and your kids can still mess up. So this is not a perfect scenario, but what I'm trying to say is that people want to see who you really are. And you will find out who someone really is by what comes out of their mouth. And this is really challenging for us, because it's hard to control our tongues. Now, let's continue. You want to continue? Yes. Proverbs 4, verse number 10. And this is really powerful, because when we read the scripture in Proverbs, we like to go straight to verse 23, because verse 23 is really the crux of this entire passage. But you must put it into context, because you need to hear what the writer is telling his son. It's really powerful. Watch this. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Can you all say that's what we desire? I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the paths of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, now listen, he's overemphasizing, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And then he says this, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. This is what Jesus was saying. What's in your heart will come out eventually. In other words, listen, you have to control. You have to get your heart needs to be right. The only way that that can happen, guys, is when you make a decision to be obedient to the word of God. Listen to instruction, what God says. Go in the direction that he says we should go. When he says, listen, when he says, God, I don't want you to speak evil, because it's going to hurt you. You're going to bear fruit that's going to be destructive. We need to take that seriously. And I know it's difficult, but we have to take it seriously. That's why the writer here is so intense in his words. And he says at the end, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. And he's about to tell us why, because what's going to happen is, if you don't do that, he says, verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. And then he says, listen, because if you watch your heart, your tongue, your mouth is not going to speak words that are destructive and perverse. The word perverse means twisted, deceitful. It doesn't necessarily have a sexual connotation. I've explained that to you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. You know, I remember once somebody prophesied over me. He said, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look at their faces. Look forward. Look towards the prize. Look towards what the Word of God says. Don't be influenced by what some say. Don't be influenced by what the world desires to do. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world means this. It means do not be fashioned. Do not be changed. Don't allow the world system. Well, you know, it's normal to get angry. No, it's not. Well, it's normal to speak evil. No, it's not. You are giving the enemy an opportunity to move. You are giving the enemy an opportunity to send out his minions to go and work. We give him that power. But we must stop. Can you say amen? We must make a decision. So the one key is without a doubt is to stay focused. What God says is the final authority. It's not what Pastor Alex says. It's what's in the Word of God. That's what matters. That's what will give you power. That's what will change your life. So then how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this unclean mouth? And what's going on in our hearts? Well, I'm so glad you're asking this morning. Let's go to Isaiah 6. Because I believe the key is here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This is the prophet that had been taken up into the throne room, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. In other words, the prophet's taken into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, the one thing that is revealed to him is that his problem is his tongue. Is that the area that needs to change is with what he speaks. And he goes on and he says this, I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then he says this, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, the place where you will recognize that change needs to take place, and the place where change will take place is in the presence of God. When you go into His presence and you surrender yourself to Him, Lord, I know I am a man of unclean lips. And the Bible says that in that moment, while he was in the presence of God, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. In other words, he needed something from the presence of God to cleanse his lips. Let me tell you something. We don't need a piece of coal because we have the cross. However, even though we have the cross, in order for us to change, we must go into his presence. Because in his presence, that's where your heart begins to transform. You become what you worship. If you can go before God and, well, I don't know how to get into the presence of God, worship Him. Why do you think the prophet got to that place, the mighty prophet, that would go and tell the city that they would be judged and carried the word of God in his lips? When he got into the presence of God, he melted like wax and recognized his infallible heart and how weak he is and how he needs the Lord desperately. And that's the only way that we can change, is in his presence. Because when we enter his presence and recognize who he is, and you can see clearly from scripture that the prophet recognized who it was that stood before him. And as he spoke, the posts began to shake in the presence of the king, and his heart was exposed, and he recognized that his mouth, I can't even imagine what was going through his mind, but he recognized that something had to change in him. So God sends an angel. Listen, God sent the angel of the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, so that your sins and iniquities could be taken away. But it will require a time where you come before him, recognize your mistakes, recognize your weaknesses, cry out to him and surrender to him. And that's when things begin to change. That's when things begin to transform. Well, you know, I'm just going to stay angry. Yes, you and your pride. The only reason you stay there is because you know why. It requires surrender, guys. And it's the most difficult thing, because we want to hold on, but we have to let go. And the only place you'll be able to let go is in his presence. That's why I love his presence. Because I need his presence. That's why that song, I speak Jesus. And that's how I want to live my life. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus like what I've just said? I need his presence. I need his presence so badly, because woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, but I recognize who he is and what he's done for me. And in that place, deliverance can begin. Change can begin. And slowly but surely, you will get better and better at controlling your tongue. I've been in environments, guys, that are so violent. The attack is so harsh. And I've sat there and I've thought, and I just sit and I watch and I say, Lord, will you fight this battle for me? And I do nothing. Now, I've done that a few times. There's also been the other. I draw strength from his presence. I draw deliverance from his presence. And I draw healing from his presence. But I admit that I need to change. So I choose his ways and his words over my own. And if we can get to the place where we truly do that, we will walk in such great victory. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for your presence, Lord, that is here right now. There is no one in this place that can pick up a stone and throw it at anybody. Like you said to the Pharisees when the woman was caught in adultery, you who is without sin, pick up the first stone. And every one of them left, because none of us are perfect. But we serve the perfect one. We surrender to the perfect one. And Father, as we are in your presence and desire to be as you are. I pray that you will change us. That you will change our hearts. That you will heal our lives, our marriages, our children. Because we know that it's not by might or by power, that it's by your Spirit. And we know that Jesus not only died for our sins, but so that we could enter into the kingdom, that we could have access to the presence of God. So we just love you so much, Lord. And right now in this place, and everybody's head is bowed and eyes are closed, I don't want to call you to the front or ask you to raise your hand, but where you are in your seat, if you desire to surrender, do so right now. Just surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him right now where you are in your seat. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will heal hearts. That man thinks is impossible. It's not impossible for you. You sent your Son to save us. And we take that so gratefully this morning. And so we surrender. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I pray that His grace, that His love, and that His fellowship will be with you as you leave this place today and go in His peace, because it's in this room right now. Take it with you as you go your separate ways. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.